The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on October 9, 1991 in Atlanta, Georgia. The class begins with a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 2, Verse 39 through 52.
হইল মন আগে দেখে দুইজন তাদের বলছে আমি নারা চৈতন্য স্বপ্ন প্রায় কি দেখিন খিবানে ফলাপিন তোমার কিছু শুনিয়াছ দৈন
In an instant, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regained external consciousness and saw two persons before him. Questioning them, he asked, Am I conscious? What dreams have I been seeing? What craziness have I spoken? Have you heard some expressions of humility? Purport. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke in ecstasy, he saw two persons before him. One was his secretary, Sarup Damodar, and the other was Raya Ramananda. Coming to his external consciousness, he saw them both present. And although he was still talking in ecstasy of Srimati Radharani, he immediately began to question whether he was the same Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Suno mora praner bandhav, nahi Krishna premadhan, dharidra mora jivan, dehindriya vrita mora sam.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, My dear friends, you are all my life and soul. Therefore I tell you I possess no wealth of love of Krishna, for Krishna. Consequently, my life is poverty-stricken. My limbs and senses are useless.
Puna kohe hai hai, sunar sarvaramai, eva rajidaya nischai, suna karaho vichar, haya nae koho sar,
Again he addressed both Sarup Damodar and Rai Ramananda, speaking despondently. Alas, my friends, you can know that certainly within my heart, and after knowing my heart, you should know, should judge whether I am correct or not. You can speak of this properly. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then began to chant another verse.
Koi avarohiyam premam nahi hoi manushe loi jai hoi khasya virohe hantami kojiyai.
Love of Godhead, devoid of cheating propensities, is not possible within this material world. If there is such a love, there cannot be separation. For if there is separation, how can one live? Purport. This is a verse in a common language called Prakrita. Then the exact Sanskrit transformation is
Koita varohita prema nahi bhavati manushe loke jodi bhavati khasya viroho virohe satyapi ko jivati akoitava krishna prema jano jamnu danto hemo সে প্রেমানিলোকে না হয় যদি হয় তার যোগ্য না হয় তবে বিয়োগ্য বিযোগ হইলে কেহ না জিয়াই
Pure love for Krishna, just like gold from the Jambu River, does not exist in human society. If it existed, there could not be separation. If separation were there, one could not live.
এতো কহি সচি সুত শ্লোক পরে অদ্ভুত শুনে দুহে এক মন হইয়া আপনা হৃদয় খাজ কহিতা বাসিয়া লাজ তবু কহি লাজ ভিজ খাইয়া
Thus speaking, the son of Srimati Satyamata recited another wonderful verse, and Ramananda Rai and Sarup Damodar heard this verse with great rapt attention. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I feel shameful to disclose the activities of my heart. Nonetheless, I shall be done with all formalities and speak from the heart. Please hear. Na prema gandhosti darati me harau krandami sobhagya bharam prakashitum vansi virasyanana lokadam vira vibharmi yadbrana patanga kanvita." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "My dear friends, I have not the slightest tinge of love of Godhead within my heart. When you see me crying in separation, I am just falsely exhibiting a demonstration of my great fortune. Indeed, I am not seeing the beautiful face of Krishna playing his flute. I continue to live my life like an insect without purpose. Dure suddha prema gandha kapata prema Dure suddha prema gandha kapata premera bandha Say more nahi Krishna pai Tabe je koriya krandan So swaso bhaga prakapana Koriha janiho nischoy." Actually, my love for Krishna is far, far away. Whatever I do is actually false. When you see me cry, I'm simply exhibiting my great fortune. Please try to understand this beyond a doubt. Jate bansi dhvani sukho na deki se chanda mukho jagdapi nahi ka alangam alambham nijodehe kori priti kevul kamerariti prarekite koriye dharam. Even though I do not see the moonlight face of Krishna playing on his flute, and although there is no possibility of my meeting him, still I take care of my own body. That is the way of lust. In this way I maintain my fly-like life. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this connection, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that the lovable Supreme Lord is the supreme shelter. The Lord is the supreme subject, and the devotees are the object. The coming together of a subject and object is called alambana. The object hears and the subject plays the flute. That the object cannot see the moon-like face of Krishna and has no eagerness to see him is a sign of being without alambana. Externally imagining such a thing simply satisfies one's lusty desires. And thus one lives without purpose. So, Lord Chaitanya is expressing his extreme humility, establishing what is the highest standard of actual devotion to Krishna. Here we see Lord Chaitanya expressing, "I have no devotion for Krishna. I am not a pure devotee. I am not a pure lover of Krishna." But the mood in which he is doing it is extreme humility, frustration, separation of Krishna, personal worthlessness. Sometimes talking with devotees, someone may say, "Well, this is my false ego. Nobody's pure. Can't be a pure devotee." And that's supposed to be accepted as a reason. Their defect, their mistake is pointed out, and they say, "Well, that's my false ego." As if, "It's all right. Don't expect me to be pure. Don't expect me to be on the standard of devotional service." But here, Lord Chaitanya is not saying, "You know, I don't have love for Krishna. I can't see his face." He's not saying in that. He's saying in what attitude? He's saying in such a way that it's heart-rendering. He's saying in a deep love and affection for Krishna. Prabhupada used the word sometimes, shameless. For all our inefficiencies and defects in devotional service, we should be very ashamed. Lord Chaitanya is expressing shame. Hai hai. He uses the word hai hai. Hai hai means like alas, alas. He says, "I feel shameful to disclose the activities of my heart." Of course, Lord Chaitanya is saying this in his extreme humility, more for our instruction. See, Lord Chaitanya has the purest love of Krishna. He's Krishna himself, he has pure love for Krishna. But he is presenting like this, that I don't have pure love. What do you think is pure love? You see me crying for Krishna. It's just a show. If I really had pure love for Krishna, how could I be alive, not being with him? If I really had love for Krishna, then even though I'm not seeing Krishna, how could I just callously be taking care of my body and just worrying about my material self-interest all the time? Why wouldn't I just be completely mad after seeing Krishna always? So he compares himself to a fly or an insect, a keet, an insect. Absolutely essential for us to be successful in devotional service, to evaluate ourselves, our devotion, according to the highest standard that we should be practicing. Otherwise, we won't be able to achieve anything even close to it. Certainly, we can't judge ourselves simply according to the activities of others, peers. We surrender to our guru because we find some quality in the guru of pure devotion or purity in devotion. We want to get that quality from the spiritual master. Once we stop trying, once we become self-satisfied that, well, whatever we are, it's okay for now. Basically speaking, we're stuck up. Our cars run out of gas. So here, when we hear these verses of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the heart-rending, humble expressions of shame and lack of devotion, we should be ashamed at how little devotion we have. Krishna prema sunema jana sudha ganga jal se prema mitera sindhu nima se anurage nalukayanda dhage sukla vastre jaise masi bindu. Love for Krishna is very pure, just like the waters of the Ganges. That love is an ocean of nectar. That pure attachment to Krishna does not conceal any spot, which would appear just like a spot of ink on a white cloth. Purport, unalloyed love of Krishna is just like a big sheet of white cloth. Absence of attachment is compared to a black spot on that white cloth. Just as the black spot is prominent, so the absence of love of Godhead is prominent on the platform of pure love of Godhead. Here we see the example, big white sheet of cloth, this unalloyed love of Krishna. So any slight absence of attachment to Krishna is compared to a black spot on that pure white cloth. So Lord Chaitanya is just seeing that sometimes I'm taking care of my body or I'm doing different things. At that time I'm not fully absorbed in a separation from Krishna. He's pointing out what he feels to be symptoms of his lack of pure love of Krishna. Of course, if we compare our devotion, it's more like a black cloth with a few white spots. The white is prominent. Oh, there's a little devotion there, see? So it may be hard to relate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic expressions. But our goal is actually to have a white cloth free from all the black spots. One time Srila Prabhupada said that it's so difficult to train mlechas, fallen souls, devotional service in the age of Kali. He said sometimes, so we know that the pure spirit soul, the spirit soul, jiva atma, is pure, but simply covered by accumulation of dust of so many births. So we just have to cleanse off this contamination. So, but sometimes I feel like I'm cleaning a piece of coal. It's like you're gonna just rubbing, and all that comes off is black. Is there really a little nugget in the middle of something different, or is it just gonna be black straight through? If we really felt the way Lord Chaitanya advised us to feel, or ordered us to feel, chanada pisani chena, more fallen than the straw in the street, then what name could somebody call us, which would be lower than what we should think we are? We should consciously feel so humble. How we've forgotten Krishna, how we've neglected serving Krishna for so many millions and unlimited births, simply wallowed in this stool and urine of sense gratification. So we're just to consider ourselves lower than the straw in the street. So somebody says, you know, you pig, you whip, you this, you that, whatever they want to say. What can they say which would be worse than our own self-estimation? I'm worse than that. If we actually follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction, where's the question of false ego? Devotional service means that it has to be on the platform of zero false ego. Any false ego is totally unacceptable. Radharani is great. You can embrace me, you can stop me under, you can do anything you want to me. If we say that nothing happens without Krishna's permission, and if Krishna is permitting someone to call us a bunch of dirty names or to mistreat us, that we see that as Krishna doing it. So we don't take out any offense on that person. Haridas Thakur is being whipped in 22 marketplaces. He said, these people are not responsible. Please forgive them. I'm responsible. I've committed so many sins in my life, so many bad karmas. I deserve worse than this. I deserve to have people mistreat me, call me names, spit on me, beat me, cut me, whip me. I deserve this. That's the attitude of, you know, these great devotees. Of course, not that we wouldn't defend ourselves as someone if we had the opportunity. Haridas Thakur also, when Jagai Madai were chasing him, he ran for his life later on. But he didn't hold Jagai Madai responsible. He didn't become envious against Jagai Madai, even though they were so cruel against him. Still, Nitai and Haridas wanted to deliver Jagai Madai. They always kept a favorable mood. That's what moved Jagai. When he saw even after Madhai beat Haridas, beat Nityananda Prabhu, with a bottle on his head and blood was flowing, even then Nityananda didn't become envious of Madhai, didn't become angry, didn't want to get vengeance, didn't want to inflict a counter pain upon Madhai. Didn't become fearful. He was still emulating love. And then Jagai told Madhai, just lay off. It's not an ordinary person. We may not be up to that standard. It's not that it's going to be very easy. But if we're not, we should be ashamed about it. We shouldn't be proud about it. We shouldn't take that as a standard. Just like if a little child gets all upset because, you know, daddy, this one called me a name, and the parents say, oh, it doesn't matter, just don't. If somebody comes and starts yelling racial slurs, this or that other race, civilized people, they're ashamed by that. They feel this is subhuman, this is uncultured, this is, you know, they're not proud of that. They're not, and a cultured person is not even more disgusted or whatever. He's not, doesn't take it seriously. And these people are uncouth. A devotee is highest to be a Vaishnava. It's the highest perfection. A Vaishnava is greater than a Brahmana, greater than the Devas. If we want to become a Vaishnava, we want to be a Vaishnava, then all the tests that Maya throws at us, all the different tests on our false ego, we have to pass it. Otherwise, at the time of death, we may fail the final test over some silly thing. Instead of remembering Krishna, we'll die thinking, you know, I gotta get that guy. Or, how could he say that to me? Or some foolish thing instead of that, how this material world is such a stinky place and how wonderful it would be to be with Krishna. And that all this is just symptomatic of the material world and this is just to propel me in the arms of Krishna. Prabhupada said this world is no place for a gentleman or gentlewoman. No gentleman or lady would like to stay in this material world. It's not a place. People act in horrendous ways in the material world. But in the spiritual world, everyone is a perfect gentleman, perfect gentlelady, perfect person. None of these things exist. If we want to be on a spiritual platform, then we have to transcend the false ego. Bhagavata, when Jarabharat was conscripted to carry the palanquin of the king Rahugana, and then he was trying to avoid stepping on the ants because he knew this was a bad karma. He didn't want to commit any sin, but he was stepping out of pace with the rest of the people carrying the palanquin. The king Rahugana started to chastise him. "You fatso, you know, you fat slob, what are you doing? You don't know how to walk properly. Stay in time, the whole palanquin is jerking around. What do you think you know," started like criticizing. So then Jarabharat, he just replied, "You know, I'm neither fat nor skinny. I'm neither, you know, stupid or bright. I'm neither this or that. Because I'm not this body. This body is just a..." Then he gives, giving a whole philosophical treatise. So then Rahugana understood that this isn't just some coolie, some kind of, you know, porter I picked up off the street. This is some kind of a sage or rishi or something, some intellectual who knows, who's a self-realized soul. So immediately he said, "Stop, break, you know, lower me down." He put the palanquin on the ground, he gets off and he pays his obeisances to Jarabhara. And he said, "Who are you? Please forgive me if I commit any harm, but who are you? You are speaking like a very learned pandit, like someone who has got some spiritual knowledge." And then in this way the whole discussion came. So that's the standard of self-realization. Jarabharat was criticized. His only defense was that, "Well, whatever you're saying, I'm none of those things. Because I'm not the body. I'm not this mind. I'm the pure spirit soul." So practically it becomes, for a spiritual master, intolerable or almost impossible to deal with situations where people take that self-interest and false ego is the norm. It's acceptable standard. It's all right to have a certain amount of false ego. And if somebody steps on the false ego more than their acceptable limit, then it's all right to respond also on a material platform. But where is that anywhere? Krishna consciousness. We're not supposed to get offended if somebody addresses us on some material platform. We're supposed to get angry if they offend the Guru or if they offend Krishna. Instead, what happens is somebody attacks us in some way, we end up offending the Guru. Maybe we get so affected we'll stop chanting our rounds, or we'll stop doing our devotional service, or we'll... This is symptomatic of what we consider neophyte devotees. As the Srila Prabhupada said, that unless we have mature devotees, devotees who are learned in the philosophy, the future of our movement is very dim. We'll end up with some substandard leaders, substandard devotees who will not be able to present this highest philosophy. Lord Chaitanya's philosophy, we're all really proud. This is the highest presentation of pure love of Krishna. If we can't get above the platform of false ego, how are we going to be able to realize this philosophy? How are we going to be able to preach it? How are we going to be able to practice it? So in our daily activities, we are always being tested. God, actually, what we always say, well, this personality comes. The real conflict is that somebody has a desire to do something for Krishna, and the other person obstructs him in doing that. That's like the only kind of reasonable problem that can arise, and therefore, ultimately, if the two are not able to help each other in doing their devotional service, then they have to be relocated. But all the other difficulties which come up from engaging in prajalpa, these are completely substandard. So when we read this, hear these verses by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where he's so ashamed over his lapses of pure devotion, what he considers a lapse in pure devotion, like being able to live without seeing Krishna. His standard is that if you think of Krishna and you're not able to see Krishna, if you have pure love, you should immediately die in separation. Anything less than that is not the highest level of pure devotion. So he's ashamed over not having that level of devotion. So if we follow Lord Chaitanya's footsteps, then we should all be, you know, quite ashamed. And he further elaborates, not only that, but when I'm bathing, when I'm eating, when I'm taking care of my body,
at that time I'm not necessarily thinking about Krishna in the highest level of separation, so how is it possible that I have pure love? If I have pure love, really pure love, then all the times I would be thinking only of Krishna. I wouldn't even have time to think of my body. It's interesting that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur apparently one time made a comment that when I think about, you know, I have to brush my teeth, I have to take a bath, that's when I'm off, I've fallen down from the level of separation from Krishna and come down, you know, to the mode of goodness. We are so much in passion, ignorance, that if we remember to brush our teeth and take a bath, we're doing great. We're getting out of ignorance and out of passion, and we may at least clean. But the great acharyas, they're going to be so absorbed in their love of Krishna and their separation for the Lord, that when their meditation would break, when they would come out of that ecstasy, then they'd remember, oh, now I have to brush my teeth. That would be, you know, the lowest level of consciousness. And for us, practically, it's one of the higher levels of the day. So actually, although devotional service may appear very, very far from us, if we can focus on it, if we can understand what it is, and if we desire it, then by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can get it, even though it's so inconceivable. But if we don't focus and we don't understand it, instead if we think that somehow or another, just going through the mechanical processes of certain aspects of sadhana bhakti and then holding on to, you know, large amounts of false ego, a lot of self-interest which is not dovetailed in Krishna consciousness, etc., etc., we're not going to get the ecstasy of devotional service. We're not going to get love of Krishna. Which means that the danger of being more and more attached to the material sense gratification we have is there. So at least we should be as ashamed about it. Or don't have that devotion. We should be ashamed about it. We should try to serve devotees that have more devotion, perform our devotional service in such a way that we can improve our devotion. We should definitely never accept some third rate or tenth rate level of devotion as something to not be ashamed of. Lord Chaitanya here is saying, just like a white cloth, any little black spot is prominent. Well, that's the standard. We should be actually having a white cloth and then trying to eliminate all the little black spots. Our false ego is so thick, we've got a black cloth, and if we can see a little devotional quality on a little white speck, we can look and see, I'm such a pure devotee. I'm doing this service. Although the whole rest of the cloth may be black. But what problem? When we are white cloths, and then you're always working on those little last spots that are still there. Sometimes it's very frustrating when you talk with devotees, they're obviously filled with defects. But they cannot see their own defects. They cannot recognize them. They don't want to hear it. Their mind goes blank when you start to point out you have a defect that you need to work on. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told a kind of humorous story about this kind of person. He said once there was another of his landlords, a big lot of landlords in his examples. At that time it was the British rule, there were many lords. And the British were ruling through these landlords and kings. So anyway, there was a landlord and he had a servant. And this servant was one of these kind of guys that's never wrong. Is there a cliche for never wrong people? Huh? Yeah, like a know-it-all or never wrong. So, many times he'd make mistakes where people would say, look at this problem, this is a mistake or this is a problem. And then he's got the answer for everything. So, no, it's not my fault. It's this other guy, his problem, he did it, that one did it, this one, this, that thing. It's not, or it's really good, you just don't know. You know, something he would always have the last word. So everybody would just already discuss it with this guy. Somehow he's going on with his service. So one day, the landlord personally asked him to do something and he came back and he completely messed it up. It was like a complete disaster. He told him, look at this is not correct, you should have done it like this. And he starts to do the same thing with him. He says, no, it's not like that, it's actually, you didn't explain to me properly and this thing wasn't right and that thing and it's not me, it's everything else, right? And the landlord said, you know, this guy's never going to learn if he can't see his mistake. I'm not going to be able to get proper service out of him unless he can realize his own mistakes. You can never improve if you can't see your own errors. So he took the time to explain to him. He says, you're wrong. It's your mistake. It was your duty. You had to do it. It's not anybody else's fault. He says, no, no, it's not. I wasn't wrong. And he just said, I was not wrong. So then the Lord, you know, in those days was feudal in India, you know, so the Lord was like, you know, he was the judge, magistrate, police, everything. He said, you were wrong. He says, I was not wrong. You were wrong. I was wrong. Oh yeah? I'm gonna prove to you. And he took, so then the landlord said, okay, for the guy's betterment, I have to punish him. This is the only way he'll learn. So then he started beating it with a stick. And the guy said, you couldn't even hit me, could you? It's like, no matter what, you were always right. Even the guy hit him, and I was like, you know, what a wimp, you know, a guy couldn't even hit me, you know? So then I went, oh yeah, and he gives him another, wow! Gives him that kill. So right. So he's beating him, oh, and this guy, he just won't give in, no matter how much, and even actually really he's getting, but he's got such an ego. He won't admit it. So then I said, well, this is not getting anywhere. I gotta break this guy's false ego somehow. And then the guy, he's also getting kind of like, you know, injured there by this whole exercise. But he's still his mind. He won't. Such a weak hit, you know, it's like the son screaming, you're bad. But the guy, it's nothing, you know. So then the landlord, you know, this guy is a real case. No kind, doesn't even care for his son. Then the wife happened to come, you know, to plead to stop beating the son. He didn't do anything. And then the guy thought, but you can't even beat my wife. And then Lance said, hit a woman? He wasn't going to go to that. He's not going to beat someone's wife, you know. So then he saw the landlord was hesitant. See? So, you know, I can't even hit my wife, you know, it's like, and then he just like, sorry, huh? So, the person was like completely irrational. He just should never accept
he was wrong.
And so, Srila Bhakti Siddhartha, so there are some people like that. Someone tries to instruct them, tries to correct them, tries to show them how they can help themselves, how they can improve themselves, but they'll never see their own personal defect. Even if it causes their own destruction, if it causes destruction of their family, their friends, anyone, but they just will not accept that they could be wrong. And we see some people like that, that just because of fault, they could just humbly say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, but because they insist that they didn't do anything wrong, they didn't make any mistake, they could never be wrong, as everybody else, they become so intolerable. That ultimately they cannot stay in a society of devotees. And even then they think it's not my fault. It's everybody else's fault why I'm not in the society of devotees. It's the president's fault and the guru's fault. And ultimately it's Krishna's fault. It's everybody's wrong. Even God is wrong. I'm the only one that's right. Why do we say that? People say, why Krishna is doing this to me? Right? I'm not wrong. It's God who's wrong. Right? They go to the point that even Krishna is wrong. They never think that, you know, I must have committed some bad karma. I must have done something to deserve this. Because Krishna is never wrong. So there are people like that. And we don't want to become one of them, for sure. Nobody should even, you know, become close to them. Because those people are like really hopeless cases. They're just headed to their own self-destruction. Until they get out of that. And Maya is going to do what that landlord did. Maya is going to kick and kick and kick and kick until some thousands of births down the road, whenever however long it takes, eventually they may crack and start to think that maybe I'm responsible for my own suffering. And that's what we have to realize. That we are responsible for the suffering that we bring upon. We bring it upon ourselves. Either by our immediate action or by our previous activities that we perform. There's nobody who's responsible for the suffering we get except ourselves. That is the ultimate realization we have to come to. Then we are free from this tendency to offend others. To the greatest degree. We have to desire the love of Krishna. We have to desire it so much that we just transcend this false ego. Unfortunately, this Chaitanya Charitamrita is so elevated. And actually, we haven't realized the basic teachings Krishna has given us in the Bhagavad Gita. Be equal in fame and infamy. Be tolerant. Any difficulty comes up, we become immediately enraged. But here in these verses, we can understand that if we actually would purify ourselves and practice the philosophy Krishna has taught us in Bhagavad Gita, then we could achieve this love of Krishna by His mercy. Sutam reva sukho sindhu thaya thara eka bindu se bindu jagat adubaya kohi baro chokho noi tathabhi baule koi kohi leva keva patiyai. Unalloyed love of Krishna is like the ocean of happiness. If someone gets one drop of it, the whole world can drown in that drop. It is not befitting to express such love of Godhead, yet a madman must speak. However, even though he speaks, no one believes him.
Bitale anandamai, Krishna premar abhuta chorit.
In this way, Lord Chaitanya used to reveal in ecstasy day after day, and exhibit these ecstasies before Sarup and Ramananda Rai. Externally, there appeared severe tribulation, as if he were suffering from poisonous effects, but internally he was experiencing bliss. This is the characteristic of transcendental love of Krishna. The wonderful characteristic of transcendental love of Krishna. So while Lord Chaitanya is expressing all the shame and humility of not having love for Krishna, then he's actually feeling internally so much bliss in love of Krishna. If we can get one drop of Taita Akabindu, if we get one drop of that love of Krishna, which is like an ocean of transcendental ecstasy. In one drop, so the whole world can be completely submerged. We may have a world of attachment, a universe of material considerations and anxieties, but if we could get one drop of love of Krishna, it would flood the whole thing. The whole universe can flood in one drop from the ocean of love of Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya, he is completely swimming in the whole ocean. He's drinking the ocean of nectar. E prema swahala tatta ikku charvara mukha jale na jaya tyaja se prema charvale tar vikram se jale visamita ekatra milan. If one tastes such love of Godhead, he can compare it to hot sugar cane. But one chews hot sugar cane, his mouth burns, yet he cannot give it up. Similarly, if one has but a little love of Godhead, he can perceive its powerful effects. It can only be compared to poison and nectar mixed together.
Nisyande ramuran sudamu durima ahankara sankochara prema sundari danda danda namaro jagati asyantare jayante sutamasya vakra marura steraira vikrantaya.
Translation, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke, my dear beautiful friend, if one develops love of God and love of Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, all the bitter and sweet influences of this love will manifest in one's heart. Such love of God acts in two ways. The poisonous effects of love of Godhead defeat the severe and fresh poison of the serpent. Yet there is simultaneously transcendental bliss, which pours down and defeats the pride of nectar and diminishes its value. In other words, love of Krishna is so powerful that it simultaneously defeats the poisonous effects of a snake, as well as the happiness derived from pouring nectar on one's head. It is perceived as doubly effective, simultaneously poisonous and nectarian. This purport, this verse is spoken by Purnamasi to Nandi Mukhi in the Vidagda Madhava of Srila Rupa Goswami. Feeling separation from the Lord is like separation, is like poison. But somehow at the same time as feeling that separation, one is simultaneously experiencing transcendental bliss, which is like unlimited nectar. So this inconceivable feeling of poison and nectar, just like you see the face of Srila Prabhupada, and those who were personally able to know Srila Prabhupada, I'm sure knowing doesn't mean only those who personally saw him, but they know him by many means, but those who were able to know Srila Prabhupada, they could see that when Prabhupada was in ecstasy, I mean he would have a very grave smile, like his mouth would be, you know, grave, but at the same time there'd be, I mean it was just not, it wasn't that he was sad. It wasn't that he was, you know, in some kind of material. It was something completely different. He was experiencing simultaneously some conflicting emotions which are not of this world. And one could understand that he was the most happy person that you ever met, although he was looking very grave. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you.
హరినామ సంకీర్తన మహాజ్ఞాయ గోపరి
శ్రీ
చైతన్య చరితామృత కీ
జయ.